Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We'll just read one verse this morning, text 29, from Canto 3, chapter 4. Yesterday, there was a question that we heard Maharaj Pariksit place before Shukadeva Goswami. What was that question?
Why did Uddhava didn't go back and Krishna and his associates went back to
Mm-hmm. Why did Uddhava alone remain? So, the subject matter is Krishna. And Krishna means Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And the transcendental nature of Krishna's disappearance is the specific part of the subject matter. So it's Krishna and Krishna's devotees disappearing. The Bhagavatam is such an elevated scripture. There are big philosophers that have some, but of course there's atheists. There's just sense gratifiers, and then there's atheists, and then there's theists. And amongst the theists, God exists. But with the Bhagavatam, you'll hear this description, the details and details and details and details of how God exists when he appears in his spiritual form. And the various features of that spiritual form. Very elevated scripture. And we're not qualified. But we're still being given a little pablum-ized presentation of very elevated spiritual understanding. So, here's Shukadeva Goswami's reply. My dear King, the cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea. The cursing of the brahmanas refers to the brahmanas who cursed the Yadu dynasty, or Samba and his associates, who were spoofing on the brahmanas by offending them. The Yadu dynasty was to be destroyed. So the cursing of the brahmanas was only a plea, like a pretense. But the actual fact was the supreme desire of the Lord. He wanted to disappear from the face of the earth after dispatching his excessively numerous family members. He thought to himself as follows. So we're going to get some very confidential verses coming up. Shukadeva Goswami, who like Uddhava is incredibly qualified, they're going to tell us what Krishna's inner thoughts were when he was contemplating leaving the world. I mean, that's very confidential. So to prepare us for that, here's the purport. There are two words in the verse that are focused upon the purport. Tyakshan is one. Tyakshan is giving up, like Chakvadeham Purnarjanma Naiti Mamiti Sorjana. Tyakshan is after giving up. Okay. What was it Krishna gave up? It's a very deep subject. I'll say it in a very short phrase, and then we'll go into the purport. Prabhupada explains this in the purport, that when the demigods headed by Lord Brahma came to the shore of the milk ocean and pleaded for the Lord to appear to relieve Mother Earth from the burden of the Dvaniya kings on earth, the Lord replied, "I will soon appear." And then the explanation given is that Vishnu form, Shirdakshai Vishnu, is a kala, a portion of a plenary portion of the Supreme Lord. He appeared, or another way of saying is an incarnation of Vishnu, but because Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, all of the forms of the Lord appeared. They amalgamated within him. And he appeared. So what we're hearing now, the purport is going to explain and dissect the form of the Lord. Those amalgamated forms of the Lord are now going to be disintegrated and dispatched to their various abodes. And moreover, the eternal associates of the Lord, they're not amalgamated within his form, but they're part of his entourage. As he appears, they appear. He's going to disappear, so they also have to disappear. And no one can make them disappear. They're other than the Lord himself. So he made an arrangement. Okay, here we go. In this verse, the word tyakshan is very significant in relation with Lord Sri Krishna's leaving his body. Since he is the eternal form of existence, knowledge, and bliss, his body and his self are identical. Therefore, how is it possible that he could leave his body? And then disappear from the vision of the world. There's a great controversy among the non-devotees or Mayavadis about the mysterious disappearance of the Lord. And the doubts of those men with a poor fund of knowledge have been very elaborately cleared by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandarbha. Prabhupada gives us only highlights in the purport. He says at the end, for the sake of not increasing the volume of this book, I'll not go into all of it. But it's such an important point that Jiva Goswami, being the scholar that he was, he elucidated elaborately. So we're just getting highlights. According to Brahma Samhita, the Lord has many forms. It is stated therein that the Lord has innumerable forms. What is that verse? Na na avataram akaro bhuvaneshu kintu krishnak swayam samavak samavak pramanyo govindam adipurusham. And so he has innumerable forms, and when he appears within the vision of the living entities, as Lord Krishna actually appeared, all such forms amalgamated with him. Besides these infallible forms, he has his universal form. Okay, the technology is getting a little... There's the Lord, and he has innumerable forms, and when he appeared, they amalgamated within him. And in addition, he has his Virat Rupa, universal form, as manifested before Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Virat Rupa is not an easy subject to understand, putting it mildly. It's described in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Again, it appears in the first chapter of the second canto. It's described again. It's an important verse, important sub portion of the Purusha Sukta prayers. Purusha Sukta prayers are very common prayers whenever we perform Vedic yajnas. Commonly, Vaishnavas recite those same prayers that the demigods recited to Lord Vishnu to appear on earth. They're standard prayers. Rig Veda mantra. So they're very deep. included in that discussion is the relationship of the universal form, the features of the universal form and the spiritual form of the Lord, which is a very important theological subject. Put it in simple terms, God is all good, God is all spiritual. So how does something material come from something spiritual? Well, the Mayavadis have a simple answer. It doesn't. It's false. All there is Brahman. Jagat Nitya, Brahman Satya. It's false. It doesn't exist. So there's differences of schools of theology. And the primary way of looking at the relationship of creation to the creator, or matter to spirit, makes up different theologies. Ramanujacharya has his Vishishtadvaita teaching. Madhvacharya has his Dvaitavad teaching, and so on and so on. It's the essence of those distinctions is what's the relationship between the creation and the source of the creation. So that's what's weaving its way into Krishna's disappearance pastime. So listen carefully. Here in this verse, the word spitam is also used, which indicates that he left his gigantic universal form called the Virat Rupa, not his primal eternal form, because there is hardly any possibility of his changing his form of Sachit Ananda. This simple understanding is at once realized by the devotees of the Lord, but those who are non-devotees who perform hardly any devotional service to the Lord either do not understand the simple fact or purposefully raise controversy. To defeat the eternity of the transcendental body of the Lord. This is due to the defect called cheating propensity of the imperfect living entities. End of paragraph. But what Prabhupada has just described is when Krishna left this world, when Krishna entered this world, he did so with the sum total, amalgamating or merging within his existence the sum total of all the forms of the Lord, because he's the source of them. And so when he's appearing, they appear. But now they're, and he manifested for Arjuna's vision the universal form. It's like, you say, within him, or it's one of his forms that he can manifest. Now he's leaving behind the universal form. And he can make that universal form appear however he likes. I think I'm going to go next to... Here's an even more explicit way that Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes. And the translation even is slightly different. Using the excuse of the Brahmana's curse, the Lord, whose desire cannot be thwarted by time, thought of withdrawing his flourishing dynasty and separating himself from his Narayana form, which had merged into him when he appeared on earth. Commentary. Here is the answer. Remember the question? Why did Uddhava remain alone? The contrivance of the Brahmana's curse was only a pretext for causing the disappearance of the Yadus from the material world. The Lord, whose desire cannot be made useless, or amokha, in the verse is the word amogha. Kalina amogha vanchitaha. Amogha means, word for word, is unfailing. So the Lord's desire cannot be made useless. Amogha, by time. So he thought of withdrawing his clan by that means. He thought of, by the Brahmana's curse, he thought of giving up a body which was spread beyond its limits. Spitam, so that's the universal form. Spread beyond. So there's body, then its limits, and then it's beyond its limits. So, universal form. This word spitam means literally excessively numerous. There's numerous and excessively numerous, or beyond its limits. Limits and beyond its limits. The word spitam is being referred to in the translation, Prabhupada's translation, as the associates of the Lord, because there's so many, they're spitam, excessively numerous. But it's also being used in the purport. Spitam is also used to indicate that he left his gigantic universal form, called the Virat Rup, not his primeval eternal form. So when he's withdrawing, the question was why Uddhava remained behind. Our acharyas are making the connection between the Lord's leaving a universal form and his withdrawing, separating from himself his various forms and taking with him his eternal associates, as he was returning, taking his associates by a pretext. Though his eternity knowledge and bliss is confined to his swarup, it was not overextended in the sense of being visible to the eyes of the people of the material world. So the way the Prabhupada is saying it here is this, just saying the same thing the opposite way, because the Supreme Lord is not visible by people who are materialists. They therefore are able to see the universal form, because worldly people. So here's what Prabhupada writes. By practical experience also, it is seen up to the present day that the Lord's transcendental form is worshipped by devotees in different temples. And all the devotees of the Lord factually realize that the form of the deity in the temple is none different from the form of the Lord. This inconceivable performance of the internal potency of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita, but it's in reverse. Naham prakasha sarvasya. What's the rest? Yogamaya samavrita. What is that? Naham, na, aham prakash. I'm not manifest. Sarvasya, to people in general. Yogamaya samavrita. I'm covered by my yogamaya potency. I don't allow them to see me because they're inimical. So I conceal myself by my yogamaya potency. They pashati na pashati. They can see, but they can't see. They see something else. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. In the Padma Purana it is said, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyai. What does that mean? The name and form of the Lord cannot be perceived by the material senses. The name and the form. Namadi. Atakshi Krishna Namadi. The name and the name, etc., the name and the form of the Lord, they're not perceivable by material senses. But when he appears within the vision of the mundane people, he assumes the form of the Virat Rupa. This is an additional material exhibition of form and is supported by the logic of a subject and its adjectives. What does that mean? In grammar, when an adjective is taken away from the subject it modifies does not change. You could say red ball or the ball. The subject doesn't change because you took the adjective away. Similarly, when the Lord quit his Virat Rupa, his eternal form does not change. Although there is no material difference between himself and any one of his innumerable forms. You get what's going on here? Not really. it's a deep science that can't be understood just by, you know, cerebral power. It's being disclosed by our acharyas that the Lord means all of his forms and his internal potency also. And unqualified people can be given the opportunity when the Lord appears, they can see, but they can't see. Because they don't have the capacity, they're not qualified, they don't have the vision. But still everyone can see. The classic is Krishna's entering into Mathura, and all those different personalities that saw Krishna that didn't understand who was Krishna. The washerman didn't understand who was Krishna. He was Krishna. Same Krishna that when he went to the florist, oh, here's I've been waiting for you to come. I have a wonderful garland for you and Balaram. And, you know, each of the interactions, Kubja, you know, according to one's capacity, one can see or not see, even one is given the privilege to see. Chanur and Mushtika. Kamsa. Vasudeva and Devaki. You know, according to when Krishna enters into the wrestling arena, there's this beautiful verse that there's 8 or 9 different groups of people that says, it describes, they saw, the impersonalist saw him as the moving Brahman. And the elders saw him as a darling little boy. And Kamsa saw him as death personified, and you know, this one saw him that one. And Yogi saw him as the super soul, you know, according to their disposition of heart, they saw him accordingly. So we're hearing that it's not commonly mentioned, but it's presented here, that when Krishna appears in a way that performing his pastimes, others, anyone can see him, but because they're not qualified, atakshi Krishna namadi nabhavet grahim indriyai, they've hardly engaged in it. Sevan mukhihi jivado, they've hardly engaged in any devotional service. So they can see, but they can't see. So, but they're seeing something. They're not seeing sachit ananda vigraha. They're not seeing like that, although that is who is before them. They're seeing this universal form in a particular manifestation. And now Krishna is separating that universal form because he's going back to the spiritual world. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur giving an example of the rule of subjects and objects. He's analyzing the word tyak san, that Krishna's giving up. The word chakshan should follow the rule that subject and objects can be separated. For example, one can say, Chaitra was the king. Giving up the body, he burned it. The body refers to that of his wife, who had died. Since it is impossible that he die and burn his own body. In the present verse, Chakshan Deham cannot mean that the Lord gave up his body and died. Since his body is full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Thus, Mahapurana says, quote, Mahavaraha Purana, all the forms of the Lord are eternal, appearing constantly within the material world with bodies of Paramatma without any destructible elements made of Prakriti. And so it's a long purport. Madhvacharya's supports with different verses, etc., 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 so many verses. Here's from Nisringa Tapani Upanishad. The form of man lion is truly eternal, Supreme Brahman. Nisringa. Since Krishna had, this is Bhagavatam 3.2.7, earlier chapter. This is Uddhava speaking. Since Krishna has disappeared like the sun, how can I describe the condition of us, his friends, devoid of splendor, whose houses have been swallowed by the snake of lamentation? Anyway. Here's from the 10th canto. Lord Sri Krishna lives eternally among the cowherd men and the Yadavas and is conclusively both the son of Devaki and Yashoda. That's not possible. He's the son of Devaki or he's the son of Yashoda. How can he be the son of both two mothers? But this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking. And is conclusively both the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherd men. And with his mighty arms, he kills everything inauspicious in Braj, Mathura, and Dwarka. By his presence, he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. and the suffering of separation of the inhabitants of Braja and Dwarka, his blissful smiling face always increases the desires of the gopis of Vrindavan and women of Mathura and Dwarka. He remains eternally in this situation. Concluding paragraph. There are many such statements in the Shrutis and Smritis showing that the Lord has an eternal form. If we take this verse to mean that Krishna gave up his body, it does not recognize the contradiction to previous and later statements. Persons who take such a meaning have a demoniac mentality and are cheated of the nectar of prema bhakti. If the meaning of noonam instead of spitam, anyway, this is technical. This refers to an angsa of Krishna, Narayan. When Krishna appeared, Narayan appeared from Vaikuntha and entered into Krishna's form. Now to have Narayan again return to Vaikuntha, he separated Chakshan, Narayana, from his own body. According to the Sandarbha, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti referring to Jiva Goswami's Krishna Sandarbha, the phrase giving the body of the earth, Deham, to the devatas like Brahma for protecting. Okay, so that's for those persons that are Sanskrit buffs can understand the declension of terms and how it's Vyasadeva, the author, is disclosing Krishna's transcendental identity and helping us to understand very carefully the pastime of Krishna's departure. It's because with Krishna's departure, it's the departure of Krishna's associates, because they're with him eternally. So his eternal associates, the form of Narayan, etc., they're disintegrating or dissolving. So it's like the soul acts that way within the body. The soul integrates all the elements. And when the soul leaves, the elements of the body disintegrate. Or they dissolve. They go back to, just like the verse in Ishopanishad, that the air of life go back with the totality of air, and so on and so on and so on. That the detachment from the material for the higher purpose of the prayer in the Ishopanishad, for the soul entering into the kingdom of God or being in the presence of God. So this is God who has agreed to appear, and now his purpose of appearance is fulfilled. He's returning. So it's the disintegration. When we think of Krishna, he doesn't come, he comes, but he doesn't come alone. And how he chooses to manifest his various associates and energies and forms, it's all lila. So, amoga, he whose will is infallible. He thought. And when Krishna thinks, it happens. That's not how it works with us. But with Krishna, he just considers, and his energies do his bidding. One more paragraph here. Emphasis is going in the purport. Twice Prabhupada refers to Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrata, which means it's stated one way is Krishna reserves the right to not be visible for those who have ill disposition towards him. He reserves that right even when he appears and even when he disappears. So when he appears, they can see him but not see him. And when he disappears, they can not understand his disappearance, or they can understand his disappearance according to his energies work according to his will. So the explanation of his disappearance is this rule of subjects and objects. The modifying the red ball, that the term red has been removed. The Virat Rupa of the Lord is being separated from the Lord. But the object doesn't change. Krishna is unchanged. And then there's this mention several times in the purport, the Lord is worshipped in different forms. In the fifth canto, it will be seen how the Lord is worshipped in different planets, in his different forms, even now, and how he is worshipped in different temples of this earth also. We find this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita also, when Gopal Kumara goes to different places. The Lord is worshipped in Indraloka, directly as the brother of Indra, Vamana. He worships him. And in Vaikuntha, he's worshipped as Narayan, and as one Lord. He's worshipped in various ways. So, again, when Krishna appeared at the request of the demigods, all those forms amalgamated within him. Now he's returning, so all those forms are being separated. The worship of the Supreme Lord in various ways, in various places, is perfectly fine, provided it's forms of the Supreme Lord and not forms of the world. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have very elaborately explained this incident of the Lord's disappearance in their commentaries, quoting various authentic versions of Vedic literatures. We purposely do not include all of them here to avoid increasing the volume of the book, but I've read some of them. The entire matter is explained in Bhagavad Gita as quoted above. The Lord reserves the right of not being exposed to everyone. He keeps himself out of the vision of the non-devotees who are devoid of love and devotion, and thus he puts them still further away from the Lord. The Lord appeared on the invitation of Brahma, who prayed before Sri Radakshaya Vishnu, and therefore, when the Lord appeared, all the forms of Vishnu amalgamated with him, and when his mission was fulfilled, all of them disintegrated from him in the usual course. End of purport. So, same place where we ended up yesterday. What does all this have to do with our day-to-day life? Something that I very much appreciate is all religions of the world speak of God. But how much of a clear understanding is there of who is God? As Prabhupada says, they say, God is great. But how great he is, that they do not know. And what's the value of knowing how great he is? The more you understand how great he is, the more the natural inclination awakens to love him. So it's not just cerebral brain crashing. It's appreciation of the refined way in which the Lord carries out his activity. And it helps to take away the confusion of different worship in different ways. Again, provided it's the Supreme Personality of God, it can make our faith strong and steady. And love. Out of appreciation. Even we may not be able to understand it so thoroughly. My Lord, He's amazing. And it's not... And let me recite some of the ways in which He's amazing. And our great devotees of the Lord, that Shukadeva Goswami has the capacity to understand and recite to others the Lord's inner contemplations, His thoughts before He left the world. And He can understand, He explained to us how these pastimes of the Lord are taking place, where He's shot in the foot by an arrow and He leaves a form looking just like Him. What's going on? The explanation is being provided. So that as you go along further on the path of Krishna consciousness, an explanation of all these affairs are being provided by our great acharyas. So we're not going along with sentiment only. Sentiment is nice. Sentiment is necessary. But sentiment that's reposed on a clear understanding. Who is Krishna? And as I mentioned yesterday, just it automatically lifts one consciousness to the transcendental plane. Okay, any discussion?
Mother wants to explain this material conception of Lord's form. Please forgive me for my crude example, for my clarity.
For your what?
Clarity.
Clarity.
Is it something like Neil Armstrong being viewed with the gear of astronaut?
I don't know about Neil Armstrong. I don't know what your example is. Let's stick with examples that Prabhupada gave us. Okay. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the difficult subject you explained. I mean, I appreciate now how inconceivable Krishna is.
Yeah.
This universal form helps in perceiving the multiple forms of the Lord and various energies, etc. But normally, universal form is nowhere worshipped. Anywhere, this worship of universal form is prescribed and present.
Normally, the worship of the universal form is considered what?
I mean, it is easy to understand for a layman various forms of the Lord,
no,
the energies, etc.
No, it's not. Even for devotees, it's not. What to speak of ordinary people? So, what's your question?
No, anywhere this universal form, worship of universal form is described.
Described.
Prescribed.
Described.
Prescribed.
Prescribed. Prescribed. Yeah. For those that in Canto 2, Chapter 1, it's prescribed for persons that don't even have a conception of God. And then after they form a conception of God, it's explicitly recommended they leave that conception and move on. Don't continue, but leave that conception and move on to the form of the Lord in the heart and graduate from that conception to understand the Lord as a person. That's chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Canto 2. It's prescribed.
I think his question, Maharaj, is like, so that description is there, that universal form helps us form a conception of the form of the Lord, but we don't normally see around us that there's worship of universal form. Is it carried out somewhere?
No. But is it somewhere prescribed? Yes. For persons that don't even have a conception. Now, there's other things that can be done with persons that don't even have a conception, but that's one thing that's scripturally recommended. And there's a reason for it. And the reason for it is what's around us is matter. We're in this whole sea. I mean, look this way, look that way, look in any direction, and there's matter. So what's the connection between matter and God? So I can't see God, but I can see matter. So take that which you can see and help what you can see help you form a conception of God. In that sense, it's an imaginary conception or an imaginary form. But it's also a form. It's a material form. But God is all spiritual. How can he have material form? It's a contradiction, appears to be. It's one of his forms. Because you can't even conceive of imagination without the potency of God. And it has a purpose also, this imaginary form. I mean, there's a spiritual purpose and there's a material purpose. Spiritual purpose is, as mentioned, to help us form a conception of God. And the material purpose is Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrata. It's to delude the living entities who have an inimical attitude to God. And go, you know, that's it. Matter, that's all there is.
Universal form is also manifested by Krishna's internal potency, right? It's described in some places.
It's described in different ways in some places.
Yeah.
Krishna's internal potency, when transformed, becomes the external potency. Just like Yoga Maya becomes Durga in the pastime of Krishna's appearance. And this sort of transformation has to do with Krishna's unlimited potencies. He can change hot into cold. He can change this into that. He can transform his potencies as he wishes. And he does so according to the disposition of the individual. There's no need for universal form for one who is worshipper of Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. No need. So, manifest by his internal potency can very well mean, without saying the rest, by transformation of his internal potency. And his potencies are all his potencies.
I'm trying to understand that in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna is giving a Divya Chakshu to see this material form. So it's to be understood as even it's material, but the potency is, the empowerment is needed too.
Sure. Sure, sure. To see it properly. A partial manifestation of that same form was manifested before Duryodhana. And he didn't get the same realization that Arjuna did. Or Arjuna saw the universal form, he's at Krishna's feet. That wasn't Duryodhana. He saw something. And he stopped his diabolical plan. For that moment, at least.
The other topic I just want to hear more of how just Sukadeva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti talk about how they can enter the heart of.
It's simple, by disclosure. It's not by, they figured it out. The best way I can think to describe it is when we very confidentially know somebody, although they may not articulate their thoughts, we can understand their thoughts. Just because we know them so intimately and in a similar way, but in a flawless and perfect way, these pure devotees of the Lord who have, they're absolutely attached to Krishna, they can understand things about Krishna. Krishna discloses them. One can doubt that, but we have, on the other hand, we have our common experience in our own lives.
I'm not sure it's a question, maybe it's a comment, but something I was thinking about is the topic of receiving that you were talking about yesterday also. And seeing that the receiving happens like just by being present with Krishna and his pastimes and activities of the pure devotees. And just being present to them actually helps one receive.
Sure.
And just as you were describing, I was just thinking about how it's just very enlivening when you're present to the subject matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And then things that you can't figure out become understood. As opposed to trying to figure it out, and then it's all about yourself, and it's not about the relationship. The ascending process is a spoiler for descending knowledge. The happiness and the richness of descending knowledge. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. As we discussed in today's class, different planets and different the way they praying different way.
Yes.
And is it like praying Rama and Narayana is same as Krishna?
Of course, I'll give a qualified yes. The qualified yes is, while they're the same, we should also bear in mind that there are differences while they're the same. In one sense, that they're the same, just like, let's say, a man in his place of work, and a man in his home with his wife and children. It's the same man. But what his how people see him, regard him, and address him, interact with him in the office, although he's the same person, is different when he's at home. Same person. Relationships are different, although he's the same person. So a feature of him is this or that. So similarly, forms of the Lord are understood according to the disposition of heart of the worshipper of that, of the Lord. This is one Lord. Different features or aspects of him. But those different features or aspects of him are not, it's not like a chameleon, for example. You know what a chameleon is? Little lizard-looking thing that if the background is white, he looks white. If the background is gray, he looks gray. If the background is brown, he looks brown. He changes the color according to the background. I don't know how he does it, but... So, it's not just an appearance, but it's a particular feature of the Supreme Lord is manifest according to the disposition. Let's say, specifically, the disposition of awe and reverence. Then it's Narayan, because he then exhibits his feature of opulence. But if it's intimacy, opulence may also be there, but the feature is different. It's Krishna, where he's lifting Govardhan Hill, his opulence is there, but everyone is not even paying attention to the, you know, look what he's doing. It's just, Krishna is our, he's protecting us. It's love. It overwhelms the, so they see him in that way. Or another nice example is, Krishna left the Rasa dance, so the gopis are going mad looking for Krishna. So Krishna decided he would show his forearm Narayan form. And they came running and paid their obeisances. Oh, Supreme Lord, you're all knowing. Can you, you must know, where is Krishna? Anyway, he went that way.
But which is the most, for example, as you have given, I'm trying to understand, praying Krishna is a more efficient compared to Rama and...
More efficient?
Which is the...
It's more intimate. The intimacy is greater.
So praying Krishna is a more intimacy and compared to Rama?
Well, it allows for a greater intimacy in a mature stage of devotion, because in that mature stage, in the mature stage of devotion, in the immature stage of devotion, it's with on reverence, even you're praying to Krishna. In the mature stage of devotion, that spontaneous love for Krishna may become so developed that one doesn't even consider that he's the personality of Godhead anymore. But out of intimacy, of love. And Krishna likes that. But if one, in an immature stage, tried to imitate that, that's offense. Krishna, you're my friend. Come over here. Or, okay, Krishna, it's time to eat. Now sit down and eat. Where in a spontaneous mood, that may be the case. Mother Jasoda may say to Krishna, come. And that's, it's totally inappropriate in Vaikuntha. So the worship of Krishna in a mature stage offers the opportunity of a kind of intimacy that's just not available in Vaikuntha. When you become those who are family members of an individual, go back to the example of the office, there's an intimacy that just isn't afforded in the office. Even you may become a friend of the person in the office, it's not the same as the intimacy in the family. Now one can become a very intimate associate. The Prabhupada gives the example of a driver or a servant in the house. There may be the kind of intimacy that they're like a family member. They know everything about the family and they eat the same food as the family and they're like a family member. But there's an intimacy in that situation. You know, it's still, I'm the boss and you're the servant of the boss. But within Vrindavan, it's not like that. Something else? Yes?
Thank you for a very wonderful explanation about the...
We can thank our acharyas.
Mood of Uddhava. We explained all the forms of the Lord and the associates came to perform the pastimes. And when the Supreme Lord left this world, all the forms went back to the planets and it also took the eternal associates. So it's according to the will of the Lord. So
yes, that's
Uddhava,
right.
Uddhava remaining behind also was because of the will of the Lord.
Exactly. Exactly.
He answered the question. I was just going to ask, this verse is the answer to what Vrishvanatha asked.
Yes. Yeah, that's how Vrishvanatha starts his commentary. This is the answer. Yes.
Same lines, one has to the purpose of amalgamation and disintegration is to satisfy the devotees because they are worshipping in different forms.
One can say that, but one can also say that's who Krishna is. So when he says, I'll appear, he keeps his word. And Krishna means. Okay. Where is it going to go from here? Well, the next verses is Shukadeva Goswami is going to say what the Lord's thoughts were. Be sure you're here tomorrow morning. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Kriya.